The ugly old kitchen clock looked down on the scullery of the house. The room had seen better days. Days when it had been filled with sounds of servants' chatter, the clatter of cooking utensils and trays piled with crockery, the smells of good food, and the heat of the coal stoves and steam boilers. Now it was different. Electrical appliances had replaced the old-fashioned methods, but the room was still dominated by a large, scrubbed wooden table. A shadow fell across it. The shadow of a man. He held a candlestick in one hand, and by the flickering light, he gazed at the glossy cover of a magazine. He placed the candle on the table and opened the magazine.
Yes, it's here somewhere.
The man stopped at an article in the magazine and read,
"Better Bridge with Applied Mathematics by Mrs. Emma Peel."
There, sure enough, was a photograph of Mrs. Peel. A very lush, full-page color reproduction. It was an attractive pose, and from the dimpled smile and twinkling eyes, it was clear that Mrs. Peel knew quite a lot more about life than how to play bridge. The man's hands lingered over the page, stroking the glossy surface of Mrs. Peel's face. Then he ripped the page from the magazine, and with a pair of kitchen scissors, began to cut the picture into small pieces. When the page lay in fragments on the table, the large, hairy hands reached out and began to reassemble the picture. He chuckled as he worked. Twisting the features, rearranging them, an eye appeared in the center of the forehead, an ear sat on one cheek, and a hank of hair grew from the pink lips. It became a monstrous, sinister, obscene jigsaw. The owner of the hairy hands clenched them until the gnarled knuckles turned white. His laughter grew wilder. He seized a kitchen knife and hacked at the pieces in a frenzy of madness. Someone doesn't like you, Mrs. Peel.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Episode one of this story, in which John Steed is forced to sit out the first round of the game, and Emma Peel suspects that somewhere in the background lurks a joker. On a rather misty morning, Emma Peel drove carefully across London to John Steed's Mews apartment. She was dressed in a warm, dark red trouser suit with a gay scarf at the neck. She looked very like the recent photographs of herself that appeared in the glossy magazines. She was in a carefree mood and hummed quite cheerfully as she parked the car outside Steed's home. A few moments later, John Steed, who was upstairs, heard the front doorbell ring.
Coming!
Steed made his way downstairs quite quickly. Too quickly, perhaps. Halfway downstairs, Steed tripped, lost his balance and fell heavily, dragging a few ornaments with him. He landed painfully on one ankle. It promptly gave way. Mrs. Peel, hearing the crash, tried the door. It opened.
Steed? Steve, what's happened?
Mrs. Peel, you are needed.
What on earth have you done?
Came downstairs to answer the door. Forgot it wasn't locked. I fell. Hurt my ankle.
Well, let's have a look. Ooh, nasty.
Yeah, painful, too.
Come on, let's get you up into a chair.
Bath?
Well, you look clean enough. Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I don't know about a wheelchair, but you must certainly keep off that leg for a while. There. Better?
Thanks.
Lucky you didn't break it. As it is, your tango may be irreparably damaged.
Tango? I'm not as old hat as all that. I'm getting with it.
Well, it's obvious that you got as far as the twist. This ankle's very badly sprained. What do we do about it? Get a doctor?
No, get a drink. Over there, three fingers of scotch.
Right.
What brought you here this misty morning?
Well, I was going to ask you to drive me down to Exmoor. Here, that should kill the pain a bit.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. I suppose I shall have to take myself down then, huh?
Exmoor? Who the devil is in Exmoor?
Sir Cavalier Rousicana.
He sounds like an opera.
He's probably the greatest bridge player in Europe. He read my article that appeared in a magazine lately. Anyway, he wants to meet me.
Oh?
He's invited me down to his house for the weekend.
Oh.
Sir Cavalier is 75.
Oh. Just the same, be careful. You know what a rejuvenating effect you have on people. I mean, look at me. I feel better already. Hardly any pain in the leg at all. Well, almost not.
It's quite a privilege to meet Sir Cavalier. He hardly ever sees anyone.
Well, he could have a very small fan mail. Well, if you're dead set on this jaunt, I suppose you better get going. Well, don't let me delay you.
I'm sure you'll be all right.
Quite sure. Now, you run along and enjoy yourself. I only wish I was coming with you, but... Oh, well, it was not to be, thanks to those blasted stairs. Bye, Mrs. Peel.
Goodbye, Steve.
Mrs. Peel left. A short while later, she was driving through the cold English countryside, her scarf catching the breeze, a smile on her face. Could it be that she rather liked going without John Steed? Careful, Mrs. Peel, you may regret this newfound freedom. As for Steed, back in his apartment, he hobbled painfully across the room to the cigar humidor. He selected one, poured himself another brandy, lit the cigar, and was about to enjoy both when the doorbell rang again. Steed limped across the room, down the small passage, and opened the door.
George. George Fancy.
Hello, Steed.
Oh, come in, come in. Nice to see you. Go ahead, I'll have to hobble up from behind.
Oh, what happened? You run into counter-espionage, tangled with the minions of a mastermind?
Oh, something far more sinister. I fell down the stairs.
My word, you weren't...
Certainly not. But speaking of a drink, would you like one?
Well, thanks, yes, just one.
You wouldn't like to help yourself, would you? Just poured myself one.
Yes, of course. I hope it's not inconvenient calling like this.
Well, it's a pleasure. As you see, I'm confined to barracks at the moment.
Yes. Well, actually, I only called to warn you. Cheers.
Warn me of what?
Remember Max Prendergast?
Remember? It'd be impossible to forget him.
He's out.
Out? Prison?
Broke jail 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
The French authorities didn't think to tell us until they realized he's heading this way. Steed? We're pretty sure he's here, in London.
Max Prendergast.
You know the kind of man he is? That mad, warped sense of humor?
Oh, yes, I know. Of all people, I know.
Steed, will you tell Mrs. Peel?
Mrs. Peel?
Well, she was more involved with Prendergast than anyone. She ought to be warned, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'll tell her on Monday. She'll be tucked away quite safely in the country for the next couple of days. I'll tell her on Monday. No point in spoiling her weekend. Max Prendergast, eh? I don't like the idea of him on the loose. Not one little bit.
Mrs. Peel had had quite a tiring drive. Her good spirits had begun to wilt as the mist turned into fog. She lost her way a couple of times down the country lanes and was quite relieved when at last she found a sign pointing off the road which read, Rousicana Hall. She turned up the drive and minutes later parked the car. The house looked impressive, what she could see of it. She ran up the steps, carrying her weekend case, and rang the doorbell. While she waited, she glanced around, peering out into the fog. She was quite unaware that in the laurel bushes, not more than a few yards away, a man was peering back at her. Two large, hairy hands parted the branches, and then the door opened.
Good afternoon. I'm Emma Peel.
Hello.
Sir Cavalier is expecting me.
Yes, he told me. Do come in. That's if you want to.
Well, that was the idea of coming down here. And with this fog.
I love fog. They're cozy. This way.
The interior of the house was dim and shadowy. Heavy antique furniture filled the hall and the main rooms. The strange young lady led Mrs. Peel into a slightly more cheerful-looking drawing room and closed the door.
My name's Ulla. Ulla Monsey Chamberlain. Isn't it a shriek? Monsey was a pirate. I was lying on the bed when you rang the bell.
Oh, sorry. I'm a bit late, I'm afraid. Got lost a couple of times.
Oh, I'm not surprised. This place is the end of the world, isn't it? I'm not surprised you got lost. I like your coat.
Thank you.
I was reading an Italian book. I don't understand Italian, but I love reading it aloud. The words sound so nice. They roll off the tongue. Do you play bridge?
Yes.
I hate bridge. You're not a dentist, are you?
No, why?
Well, I have two fillings that need seeing to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't be of any help to you, Miss Chamberlain. Don't you think you should tell Sir Cavalier that I'm here?
Oh, my goodness. Didn't I mention it? He isn't here. He was called away this morning, a meeting in town. The IBPC, the,
International Bridge Players Convention.
Yes.
I see. When will he be back?
Sometime tonight, I think. Oh, he apologized. Would you like to see your room now? I hope you like the old homestead.
Well, it's very impressive.
There you are being kind. It's sinister and old and filled with dead things. Yes, the dead could live here very easily. An ideal place for a murder, I always think. I'm sure you'll agree before you've been here for long. This way.
Strange young lady who rejoiced in the name of Ola Monsey Chamberlain. She was certainly very fey. Her mind often seemed to be elsewhere, and her conversation switched from one topic to another without any logical link in thought.
I'm so sorry that Uncle had to go out. I hope you enjoy your stay here. The house is old and fusty. Did I tell you I'm having trouble with my teeth?
Yes.
Awfully good teeth, aren't they? White and straight.
Extremely. You said uncle just now, so you are related.
Oh, no, not really. I'm his ward. Mummy and he were awfully good friends. Mummy's dead now and he looks after me. Well, I look after him more. He's such an old dear. I mean, he's old, but not a bit stodgy. It's this way to your room. Yes, you see, uncle really understands me.
Oh, bully for Sir Cavalier. A psychiatrist as well as a bridge player.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
John Steed nurses his sprained ankle, and Emma Peel is constantly reminded that a pack of cards always contains a joker. Mrs. Peel had been invited down to Sir Cavalier Rausicana's country home near Exmoor for the weekend. Sir Cavalier was a bridge champion, and he'd wanted to discuss Mrs. Peel's latest article on bridge and mathematics. Mrs. Peel had intended persuading John Steed to accompany her, but Steed had fallen downstairs and severely sprained an ankle. Mrs. Peel went alone and was more than surprised to find Sir Cavalier not at home, and the old rambling house occupied by his ward, Miss Monsey Chamberlain. In the short while she'd been there, Mrs. Peel had already made up her mind that the stay would be a very unusual one. It had certainly got off to a kinky start.
Do you think I'm kinky?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You'll get used to me. This way.
Ola led the way up the wide oak stairs, along a landing flanked with suits of armor and tall furniture, and there at the end of the landing was, incongruously, a large swivel door. On the door was painted a life-size playing card. It was a joker.
What an extraordinary door.
Oh, yes, doesn't open. Not like an ordinary door. It revolves. Look.
The door spun round. When it stopped, Emma found herself looking at the illustration on the other side of the door. It was the Ace of Spades, the death card.
Extraordinary. Where's my room?
Oh, to here.
I must say the house is magnificent. About 1620, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know much about these things at all. Except that I think this house is dreamy, especially at night. Are you afraid of the dark?
Not especially.
I love the dark. Owl time. Full of creeps and crawls and chill spines. Ooh, one can imagine all sorts of tingles. All sorts of things. This is your room.
Mrs. Peel entered a most gracious room, beautifully furnished with oaken chests, high-backed easy chairs, and dominated by a large, draped, four-poster bed. Mrs. Peel was delighted with it.
But this is charming! Utterly charming!
Yes, it is nice, isn't it? Especially the bed. One can imagine some pale maiden with golden tresses just lying on it, wasting away for her night to come.
A night with a capital K, I presume.
Oh, I never knows one's luck. Of course it's a bit difficult with a name like I've got. Ola Monsey Chamberlain. Monsey hyphen Chamberlain.
So you said.
You know what the hyphen is, don't you?
The bar sinister?
Oh, well, at least that's what it was supposed to mean in the olden days. Monsey hyphen Chamberlain. Did I tell you about Monsey?
Yes, you said he was a pirate.
Yes, that's right. We've had them all in our family. Pirates, judges, soldiers, nuns.
And you?
I'm an actress.
Oh. What have you done recently?
Well, I've only just become an actress. I'd rather be a nun, really. Oh, just imagine making Benedictus and lovely liqueurs.
I think you've got that a little muddled. And the monks make it, not the nuns.
Oh.
But perhaps you could be smuggled into the monastery.
Oh, what fun, all those dirty habits. We've never had a smuggler in the family. Monsey was a pirate, but it's not really the same thing, is it?
While Mrs. Peel was unpacking her bag, Ola moved over to the casement window and drew aside the lace curtain. She stared down into the fog. There, in the shrubbery, stood a large man, gazing up at the lighted window.
We've never had a smuggler, or a surgeon, or a dentist. Have I shown you my tea?
Frequently.
We've never had a politician either.
Well, that could be a blessing in disguise.
Or a murderer. Yet.
Ola, where are the rest of the staff?
Staff?
Well, surely you don't run this place on your own.
Only at the moment, for a little while. Nobody stays for long, you see. It's the end of the world here. So nobody stays for long. Except Mrs. Darbright, the housekeeper. She's away at the moment in Scotland visiting her sister. We're between housemaids. The old one left yesterday. The new one arrives Monday.
I see. And you don't mind being here on your own?
I'm not on my own now. There's you, isn't there? Yes. There's you. Well, I better start preparing dinner. It's funny you're not being afraid of the dark.
Mrs. Peel stared at the closed door, shrugged her elegant shoulders, and moved to the window to straighten the lace curtains. She looked out into the fog and down into the grounds. All was still, silent. The fog swirled between the branches of the trees, seeping into the bushes. There was no sign of the man. Down in the kitchen, Ulla moved to the refrigerator and took out a large, fat fish. She took it into the scullery and laid it on the huge, scrubbed wooden table. She glanced up at the clock. It ticked its message back at her. She smiled and moved to a rack of shining knives, selected one, tested its edge, and with a gesture that was more one of cruelty than any culinary act, plunged the blade into the fish's belly and prepared supper. Upstairs, Mrs. Peel finished dressing. She'd changed into a trouser evening suit and put the finishing touches to her hair. She glanced round the room before leaving it and noticed for the first time a large oak chest in almost the shape of a coffin. Intrigued, she walked over to it and lifted the lid. She stared at the contents. It was filled with old gramophone records, all old 78s. Just at that moment, quite close at hand, the dinner gong rang out. Ulla stood in the open doorway.
Dinner served. Dinner's always served at 8 in this house. It's the only thing Uncle Cavalier's really strict about. Ready?
I'm quite ready. But shouldn't we wait for him?
Oh, no. He's going to be late. He insisted that you go ahead without him.
Oh.
Anyway, it's ready. Come along.
Ulla led the way along the passage and through the revolving door. The Joker leered down at her. She looked back, and the Ace of Spades now guarded the way to the bedroom. As they walked downstairs to the dining room, Mrs. Peel said...
How do you know your guardian's going to be late?
Hmm? What's that? Oh, do be careful of that bit of stair carpet. We don't want you falling down and breaking an ankle, do we?
No.
It can happen, you know, even to the most careful person.
Yes, I know.
Are you a careful person?
Reasonably. You haven't answered my question.
Did you ask one?
How did you know Sir Cavalier is going to be late?
Oh, he phoned me.
As they moved from the stairs across the hall, Mrs. Peel noticed the telephone standing on a table. She was darn sure if it had rung while she was dressing, she would have heard it. She entered the dining room. Quite the loveliest room in the house. The table was long, with magnificent candelabra at both ends. Placemats lined either side of the table. They all depicted playing cards. At either end of the table, two places were set. The table mats were both jokers. Ulla indicated one.
If you'll sit here.
Thank you. That's strange, playing cards on the table mats.
Oh, they're very friendly. The eyes seem to stare at one alive. When I eat here alone, I play great scenes to them. Scenes full of desperate tragedy. I want to make the eyes weep. Fish. Oh, the wine's red. Oh, dear, it's all I could find. The wine in the cellar is locked up, you see.
Well, doesn't your uncle trust you?
No, it's not that. He always locks it up when he goes away for any length of... Oh, I just adore red wine, don't you? But it is fish.
Oh, I don't mind. My palate's quite adaptable.
Oh, that's all right, then. There's the bell if you want anything. Just ring and I'll come to you.
Aren't you joining me?
Oh, I'm on dart. Slimming. It's important for an actress to keep her figure. That place at the other end is for Uncle Cavalier when he gets back. Here's the fish. Oh, excuse me.
Mrs. Peel sipped her wine and tasted the fish. Both were excellent. The telephone stopped. Mrs. Peel strained her ears to catch Ulla's side of the conversation. She heard nothing. A few minutes later, Ulla appeared in the dining room. She was dressed in warm, outdoor clothes.
A friend of mine in the village has been taken ill. She wants me to go over straight away.
Oh, then you must go, of course.
Oh, dear, I don't want to leave you here alone. I mean, I feel a bit bad about it.
I'll be perfectly all right.
It's 5 miles, the village. Even if I cut across the field, I mean, it's a long way.
Well, take my car. Here, the keys are in my handbag. There, I'll explain to your uncle what's happened.
You won't like it here alone. At night.
I'm not the nervous type. I'll probably curl up with a book.
Oh, right you are.
Ulla took the keys Mrs. Peel offered and turning up the collar of her large tweed coat, made for the door.
I'll see you later, then. Oh, there was something else. You're all alone in this big house. Make sure you lock the door.
A short while later, the front door slammed. Mrs. Peel continued with her meal. Upstairs, the revolving door, seemingly unaided, slowly swung round. The Joker was replaced by the death card. Watch it, Mrs. Peel. Mrs. Peel looked up from her meal. The door slamming meant that Ulla Monsey Chamberlain had left the house. She'd gone to visit a sick friend in the village, leaving Mrs. Peel alone at dinner. Mrs. Peel tasted the fish approvingly and sipped the wine. Being alone in the huge, rambling mansion didn't worry her a bit, but she was puzzled.
Kinky. The whole setup is definitely kinky. Particularly Ulla. I must admit she cooks delicious fish.
Perhaps Mrs. Peel was at that moment just a little too self-contained. Had she been more apprehensive, more anxious about her circumstances, she might have noticed that the revolving door at the top of the stairs had been turned round. The illustration of the Joker playing card had swiveled inwards. The Ace of Spades, the death card, now faced outwards.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
In which John Steed realizes that someone has played a rather vicious joke on him. And Emma Peel meets a strange young man who could be the Joker. Mrs. Peel didn't know whether to be annoyed or amused at the circumstances in which she found herself. They were unusual, to say the least of it. When a young, attractive woman is invited down to a country house for the weekend, she doesn't expect to dine alone on the very first evening. Yet that was the state of affairs in Sir Cavalier Rausicana's home, for her host had gone to attend a bridge conference, and his ward, Ulla, had just left. Mrs. Peel, unaware of any hidden danger, finished her dinner, poured herself a liqueur brandy in a balloon glass, selected a miniature cigar from a box on the drinks table, and moved off to inspect the rooms on the ground floor.
I'm the only person here. I could be holding a house party for 50 in this place. One thing is certain, Sir Cavalier has a lot of money. I wonder how he made it all.
Mrs. Peel was in the study when the tinkle of a bell sounded from another part of the house. It wasn't a doorbell. It seemed to come from the direction of the servants' quarters. Mrs. Peel made her way towards it, pushing open the green baize door that led to the kitchen. The room was silent when she entered. Above the door to the scullery was a large wooden box that contained bells numbering individual rooms. The spring of the bell marking bedroom number 3 continued to tremble gently. Had someone upstairs been trying to call a servant? Mrs. Peel frowned, and shaking her head, dismissed the idea. She walked through into the scullery. The loud ticking of the clock made her look across the room. Her attention was caught by something on the scrubbed wooden table. It was a knife, stuck upright into the surface. There was blood smeared all over the blade.
I said Ulla was kinky. This proves it. She guts the fish, prepares it and cooks it. Cleans away all the mess, but leaves this. I must have been crazy to lend her my car.
You're right there, Mrs. Peel. At that moment, Ulla, at the wheel of the car, was giggling rather hysterically. Ulla was making no real attempt to leave the driveway. She could hardly see in the thick fog. Eventually, she parked the car, got out, and started to walk back in the direction of the house, still giggling. Kinky. Meanwhile, back in London, poor old Steed was limping about his flat, feeling rather sorry for himself. He made coffee in his kitchen and was carrying it through when the sugar basin containing the lump sugar fell from the tray.
Oh, what the devil with it?
The sugar basin fell near the stairs. The lumps of sugar scattered over the bottom steps. As Steed bent down to retrieve them, a glint of metal caught his eye.
What the devil is this? Small metal box? How did that get there, fixed into the side of the stairs?
Steed pulled the device free from its place of concealment and examined it. He touched the spring at the side, and a length of fine tripwire shot out.
Booby trap. Stretched across the stairs, it's guaranteed to trip up anyone coming down. The moment the wire's touched, it withdraws immediately. So that's how I nearly broke an ankle.
Steed hobbled across to the telephone and made a call. George Fancy answered quite promptly.
George Fancy speaking.
George, Steed here.
Ah, Steed. How's the ankle?
Much the same, thanks. George, it's not April the 1st, is it?
What's that?
It's not All Fool's Day.
Well, of course it isn't.
Yes, I thought not.
Steed, are you delirious or something?
My fall down the stairs. It wasn't an accident. Someone fixed a tripwire on the steps. Somebody playing a joke on me.
Now, look here, Steed. You don't mean it, surely?
I most certainly do. Stranger should call that little warning about Max Prendergast being in London, isn't it?
Steed, you don't think... What about Mrs. Peel?
Yeah, that's the reason for this call. Look, I want the address and all the information you can muster on Sir Cavalier Rusicana. Sir Cavalier Rusicana. He's a bridge champion, lives on Exmoor somewhere. Now get everything you can on him immediately and phone me back, will you?
Yes, of course. But Mrs. Peel...
is visiting him. Now I must get down to her before some joker gets hold of her too. You understand?
Mrs. Peel decided to retire to her room and read. She found a suitably relaxing book in the library and made her way up the stairs. She passed through the revolving door, swinging the Ace of Spades after her. In her room, she noticed that the curtains on the four-poster bed had been closed. She switched on her portable radio.
A further drop in subsidies to counteract the recent potato glut. That concludes the news headlines, and now here is a summary of the weather.
Oh, dear.
Widespread fog is reported tonight in the outlying districts of West and Southwest England. This is particularly dense in and around Exmoor, where the visibility is down to nil.
Oh, best place bed. Oh.
Mrs. Peel moved over and opened the lid of the coffin-shaped chest.
Now, what are all these old 78s? What's this one? Mademoiselle. And this? Same. They're all the same. How very, very odd.
Mrs. Peel moved to the bed and drew aside the heavy curtains.
Oh, a large teddy bear. Ulla upped her tricks again. Oh, that's really a hot water bottle. Well, that could come in handy.
Mrs. Peel broke off in the middle of her thoughts when she heard a strange creaking noise from somewhere in the house. She moved to the bedroom door and opened it. The noise was louder. It sounded like a rocking chair moving, coming from a room at the far end of the corridor. Mrs. Peel walked stealthily towards the far door and threw it open quite suddenly, feeling for the light switch.
Nothing. The rocking chair. It's still moving.
The furniture appeared to be covered in dust sheets. Mrs. Peel was about to uncover them when... the front doorbell rang. Without switching off the light, she ran from the room along the corridor, through the playing card door, and down the stairs. The bell rang again, more impatiently this time. The fog swirled in through the open doorway. Out of it loomed the shape of a man, a young man. He looked a very odd young man.
Yes? Yes, what is it? What do you want?
Don't you recognize me?
No. Should I?
No. I'm traveling incognito. It's foggy and damp, and standing there in the doorway, you'll get cold.
Look, would you mind telling me who you are and what you want?
I could be the Baron von Duffy, looking for a new stately home. I might buy this place. Cash. The entire grounds, fabric and all.
It's not for sale.
You doubt me. But it could be true, couldn't it? You don't know for a fact that I'm not the Baron von Duffy?
I neither know nor care. Do you know what time it is?
Sorry. It's the jalopy, my car. Over there, down the drive, ran out of petrol.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? I can't see a car.
You wouldn't in this fog, would you? But it's there. It's your phone I'm after. Big property deal. I want to buy land here, you see. I also want a gallon of petrol. Or I have to walk home. My feet would get sore. Do you have a phone?
Yes, there's a phone. Come in.
You all alone in this great big house?
The phone is there on the table.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Why are you staring at me like that? I don't like being stared at. We Baron von Duffy's are human, you know.
The strange young man walked over to the telephone. Emma studied him. He was tall, with long, lank hair, an inscrutable face, and a nasty habit of clicking the fingers of his right hand together for no reason. The left hand was covered with a black leather glove. He paused as he was about to lift the receiver and said,
"Plastic surgery. That's why you didn't recognize me. Plastic surgery. Had my face fixed. Amazing what they can do nowadays."
Will you please make your call?
Incidentally, I'm not the Baron von Duffy. He's a much smaller man. Also, he's dead.
If you don't make that call...
All right. All right. All right. I'll make the call. This is like a movie situation, isn't it? Tender young girl alone in an old house. Mysterious stranger calls. May I use your phone? She admits him. And then, da-da-da-da, the wires have been cut.
What are you talking about?
It's true.
The strange young man picked up the telephone wires and held them out to Emma. They'd been cut all right.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like a movie situation, isn't it?
What are you talking about?
A tender young girl is alone in an old house. A mysterious stranger calls. May I use your telephone? He asks. She admits him. And then, when he walks across to the telephone, he finds... da-da-da-da-da. The wires have been cut.
What the devil are you raving about? Now, look here. Make that call and get
out. I can't. Look. The telephone. Da-da-da-da-da.
The strange young man who had lifted the receiver replaced it and pulled on the telephone cord. He waved the ends at Mrs. Peel. It had been cut all right.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Story in which it is brought home to John Steed that the situation is very serious and that Emma Peel could be in danger of being killed by the Joker. The weekend down at Sir Cavalier Rausicana's country home had started very mysteriously and had become more sinister with every hour that passed. Mrs. Peel, deserted by her host and his ward, had thought of an early night, curled up in her four-poster bed with a pleasant novel, untroubled by the fog which was sweeping across Exmoor and enveloping the old house like a white, damp shroud. Mrs. Peel was not a nervous person. She was too used to unusual situations and well capable of taking care of herself, but she was extremely puzzled by the whole affair. John Steed, on the other hand, was more than puzzled. He was frankly very anxious. He'd phoned George Fancy, who, reliable as ever, had called round.
Come in, George, come in.
What's the trouble, Steed?
I'm not sure, but someone put this across my stairs.
Steed held out the device, which was a steel, retractable tripwire.
So the moment I tripped, it broke contact and retracted into the metal base, which was fixed neatly into the corner of the stairs. I was lucky. Could have been far worse than a sprained ankle.
Ooh, cunning little gadget. Nasty. And you think that...
I don't know what to think, but I can't take any chances. If this is Max Prendergast up to his old tricks, then Mrs. Peel may be in more danger than I am. She's down at this place, Rousicana Hall. Did you find out anything about it?
Yes, I did. It's near a place called Little Dayton.
Got the phone number?
I have, and I tried it. Thought it would save time. It didn't. The phone is dead. Tried twice. Must be something wrong with the line. They have a very thick fog down there, according to the radio.
Can't see why that should affect the phones. You sure?
Yes, quite sure. Try for yourself if you like, but you won't get through.
I don't think I can let it slide.
Neither do I. Another thing. Sir Cavalier Rousicana left this country 4 days ago on a holiday abroad. Officially, that house is empty.
Oh, well, that decides it. Little Dayton. That's the other side of Exmoor, isn't it?
Yes.
It'll take us some time to get there.
If we get there, this fog. Thicker than a pea soup in that area. We may not get through.
We've got to get through. Oh, blast this ankle. I think I can drive the car.
No, don't worry about that. I'll do it. Come on, I'll give you a hand with your hat and coat.
George Fancy walked across to the hall stand. He picked up Steed's thick overcoat and bowler hat. As he did so, a card fluttered to the floor.
What the devil is that?
Playing card? How very odd. Must have been inside your bowler. A joker.
Let me see that.
Here. Oh!
What's that? What's wrong?
Cut myself. Oh, look. There's a razor blade on the back of the card, stuck on with transparent tape, edge just level with the side of the card. Darn fool thing for anyone to...
George?
Steed, I...
George, what is it?
Steed, I...
George?
It was meant for you!
George! George!
George made no reply. He couldn't. He was dead. The fog grew worse. It wrapped around the old house at Little Dayton, pressing white and clammy against the casement windows. Emma Peel watched the strange young man as in the scullery he hunted through the drawers for something with which to repair the telephone connection.
Any luck?
Nothing. Not even a pair of pliers. Wire pliers. That's what you need to fix that phone.
I've tried the extension upstairs, too. That's also out of order.
Out of order? I wouldn't call cut wires out of order. More likely deliberately disabled.
But that's ridiculous. I mean, why and who?
You?
You're out of your mind. Now, why?
To keep me here.
Just why would I want to do that?
Oh, I've got vitality, charm.
You've got an over-vivid imagination. I don't think you're at all vital. And to me, you're utterly devoid of charm. The only thing I find at all interesting about you is your ability to lie. Why did you come here?
I told you. Ran out of petrol.
This house is a good half a mile off the road. Why come here?
I saw the lights. Thought the petrol would just about last out and I'd be able to phone.
What lights? There were very few on. You can't see the house from the road in this fog. It would be impossible.
All right. I knew the house was here.
Who were you coming to see?
No one. I told you I'm interested in property. It's my business. Stately homes and all that sort of thing. The Baron von Duffy...
is dead.
So he is. He's dead, and I'm here. Alone in this great big house with you.
I'm not alone.
Oh, come on now. You can't tell me there's someone hidden.
I shan't be alone for long, anyway. Sir Cavalier, the owner of this house, is due back at any moment.
In this fog? He'll never make it. No one will.
And his ward, Ola, only went to the village. She'll be back soon.
Ola? She's dead. Like the Baron Duffy. Dead. I killed her.
The strange young man picked up the bloodied knife that was stuck in the table. He flourished it at Mrs. Peel.
Take a look in the garden. That's Ula all over. You see, I said I was traveling incognito, didn't I? It's a fact. I'm really Jack the Ripper.
Mrs. Peel looked at him calmly and coldly.
You could be anybody. I only know one thing. You're a bore. It's late. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
In that case, would you like me to tuck you up?
The young man put down the knife and stretched an arm round Mrs. Peel's waist.
Mistake. No one does that unless I want them to. Come on.
Mrs. Peel frog-marched the strange young man out of the scullery, through the kitchen and into the hall.
Hey! Now look here!
Out! I've had enough of your nonsense.
You're really throwing me off?
I'm really throwing you out.
On a night like this?
What's the matter, baby? Are you scared? Out.
Look, I feel safer back here. It's dreadful outside. Look at the fog. Mark you, this place is too creepy. You can tell the owner that's not grand enough for my retinue.
Ouch!
All right. I know when I'm not wanted. Oh, by the way, I take it back about you being alone, I mean. I don't think you are alone in the house. Don't believe me? Then take a look at the dining room. Bye.
As John Steed drove further into the country, the conditions became worse. He was anxious to get down to Exmoor as quickly as possible, but the fog reduced his speed to a snail's pace. Eventually...
The devil bashed into something. That's all I need. Oh, well... There it goes.
Steed crawled from the car, groped his way to the bonnet, to find that the car radiator was hard up against a signpost. Steed, who was carrying a torch, shone the beam upwards and read,
"From this vantage point, you have a breathtaking view of four counters." I'll settle for a hand in front of my face.
Steed limped back to the car with not the foggiest idea of where he was. Emma Peel, remembering the parting words of the young man she'd just thrown out of the house, went through into the dining room. The candles were gutting, but by their light, she could see that someone had been in the room. The place at the bottom end of the table had been used. There were the remains of food on the plate, a little wine in the glass, and a cigar butt smoldered in the ashtray. Mrs. Peel left the room rather hurriedly and made for her bedroom. At the top of the stairs, she paused. The revolving door now showed the playing card of the Joker facing outwards. So someone had gone through towards the bedrooms.
Joker is right. All right, whoever you are, I'll get ready for you.
Mrs. Peel entered her room and found it normal and welcoming. She crossed to her suitcase and opened it, taking out a revolver.
Fire first, ask questions later. I'm ready.
Down in the fog-shrouded garden, the young man stumbled through the bushes and stopped as he encountered Ula.
Oh, how did you get on?
I think I worried her. I really think I worried her.
Just worried?
Funniest caper I've ever been on. Why try to scare her to death?
I've told you it's a joke, a practical joke.
Well, take my word for it, that one doesn't scare easily. I've done my job. I want to be paid off.
Of course. But you haven't finished yet. You have to scream first.
Okay. I'll give you a real blood curdler. That good enough?
No. No, I'm afraid it isn't. I think we need the real thing. Don't you?
Ula turned and looked over her shoulder. The bushes parted. The huge figure of a man loomed out of the fog. A large, hairy hand tightened its grip around a pistol.
No! No! No!
shrouded grounds of Sir Cavalier Rausicana's estate.
Ah, there you are.
How did you get on?
I really think I worried her, Ula. I really worried her.
Just worried?
Funniest caper I've ever been on. Why try and scare her to death?
I've told you it's a joke. A practical joke.
Well, I'll take my word for it. That woman in the house doesn't scare easily. Look, I've done my job. I want to be paid off.
Of course. But you haven't finished yet. You have to scream. You haven't given us the scream.
Okay. I'll give you a real blood curdler. Ah! Good enough?
No, I'm afraid it isn't. I think we need the real thing. Don't you?
Ula turned her head slightly and looked over one shoulder. The bushes parted, and a huge figure of a man loomed out of the fog. A large, hairy hand tightened its grip round a pistol.
No! 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 No!
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Story in which John Steed arrives more or less safely and Mrs. Peel chases the elusive voice of the Joker. George Fancy was dead, killed by a poisoned razor blade hidden at the back of a playing card. The playing card was a Joker. John Steed was quick to realize that the booby trap had been meant for him. It had to be the work of Max Prendergast, who had recently broken out of a French jail. Steed knew that another trap had been set for Mrs. Peel. She was in even graver danger than he was. Invited down to the country home of Sir Cavalier Rausicana, Mrs. Peel had found the whole setup more than strange. The only occupant of the house was Sir Cavalier's ward, Ula, who'd left after dinner. Mrs. Peel, alone, was far from frightened and dealt very capably with the strange young man who'd arrived and tried to scare her. The young man now lay dead among the laurel bushes, and Ula, a wry smile on her face, watched the killer move towards the back of the house.
Oh, tonight is going to be such fun. I shall see all sorts of super things. I do love watching. So interesting. Such fun.
In the house, Mrs. Peel was beginning to think that the whole weekend was far from fun. She'd gone up to her room and prepared for any eventuality, a loaded revolver at her side. She settled herself in a comfortable chair at the foot of the four-poster bed and stretched out a hand for her book. It wasn't there. Mrs. Peel frowned and looked about the room.
The last time that happened, I found a rocking chair moving for no apparent reason. This time, could it be the window?
Mrs. Peel got up and moved to the window. It was then that she noticed a vase of roses on the floor. Had the curtains knocked the vase over? The wind?
In this fog? Most unlikely.
Mrs. Peel stooped and picked up the vase. The stems of the flowers remained in it. The heads of the roses lay on the floor. They had been deliberately snipped off.
Useless. Malicious and totally pointless thing to do. Kinky.
She moved to the table, where she found her book and opened it.
What the devil?
She stared down at a distorted portrait of herself. It was a cut-out picture from a glossy magazine, cut up, pasted down into a vicious gargoyle, a travesty of her face. One eye dropped out into her open hand.
Did I think someone was kinky? Brother, are they sick?
At that moment, the telephone rang.
Steed, it's just got to be John Steed.
Mrs. Peel left the room at top speed. She hurried down the corridor, swung the revolving door round, and belted down the stairs. In the hall, she picked up the telephone.
Steed? Steed?
The line was dead. Mrs. Peel found herself staring at the wires. They were cut. She remembered they had been cut half an hour ago. Even Mrs. Peel was a trifle unnerved. And then, from the kitchen, there came the sound of a door banging. Mrs. Peel went to investigate. The back door was open.
Well, let's hope whoever it is has gone out for good.
Mrs. Peel decided it was going to be a heavy night. She put a kettle on, and it was at that point that she heard the sound of the small bell Ulla had left on the dining room table. Next stop, the dining room. Mrs. Peel made it in record time.
Who is it? Who's there?
No one.
Who's in here? Who rang that bell?
The bell lay on its side, rolling gently to and fro. Mrs. Peel turned to go when she heard the voice.
Emma.
What? Who's there?
Emma. Emma. Dearest Emma.
The voice seemed to echo through the house. Was it upstairs? Mrs. Peel moved to the stairs.
Emma. Emma, I'm here. I've come back to you. Emma.
Mrs. Peel moved up the stairs. At the top, the revolving card door showed not the Joker as she'd left it, but the death card.
Someone is playing Joker. Well?
She pushed her way through the door and then heard the music. It came from her own room. Emma Peel remembered having seen a very old gramophone in the corner. She also recalled the coffin-shaped chest, which was filled with old 78 records, all of them this tune. She got to her room just as the record finished.
Now, who the devil put that on? I'm fed up with this.
Mrs. Peel, in a sudden outburst which was quite uncharacteristic of her, tore the record from the turntable and smashed it over her knee.
Nerves. That's what they're trying to do. Whittle me down with all these melodramatic tricks. Am I falling for it? Oh, not that again. The rocking chair. Well, this time I'm all set and raring to go. The far room.
Characteristically, Mrs. Peel entered the far room at top speed. She slammed the door open. She stopped dead. For there, in the rocking chair, was a man. He was swaying to and fro.
Right. Stay where you are. Don't move.
The body turned as it fell. The strange young man lay on his back. A bullet hole darkened the center of his forehead. You can't get more dead than dead. John Steed, intent on getting to Mrs. Peel as swiftly as possible, was crawling his way through the fog. He was driving more by instinct than anything else. He knew he was heading westward. Otherwise, he had to admit he was lost.
Well, this is it. Night in the fog. Stuck. Lost.
Hey! Hey, you there!
Ah! You'll be out on a right rough night, mister.
You don't know a place called Rousicana Hall, do you?
I should think I do, too.
Well, that's where I'm heading. How much further?
You'll be turning into the driveway right this minute, mister. It'll be there under your very nose, and you can't be seeing it.
Do you mean this is it?
Yeah, that's right. Just turn up the driveway. Blow me down right on the spot and don't know it. Night to you.
Good night. Well, first bit of luck I've had today.
The luck didn't last all that long.
Now what?
It was Emma Peel's car. Ulla had left it carelessly parked halfway across the drive. Steed groped his way forward and recognized the car.
Mrs. Peel! Mrs. Peel!
Steed's voice seemed to echo through the heavy fog. Clutching his stick, he limped up the driveway. Best foot forward, Steed. The other one's not much good. Mrs. Peel left the small room at the end of the corridor, determined to get the police immediately. She was on her way downstairs when she heard it.
That record again.
Emma! Emma!
And the voice.
Emma! Dear Emma! I'm
Mrs. Peel, still clutching her gun, walked slowly along the corridor, through the revolving car door,
dear,
and onto the stairs.
Emma.
Where are you? And who are you?
An old friend. A very old friend. Don't be frightened. I don't want to frighten you. Dear Emma.
Just step out where I can see you.
A quiet little chat. That's all I want. About old times.
I don't know you.
Yes, you do.
Then show yourself. Where are you?
Everywhere. Anywhere you run to, I'll be there. I am inescapable. I may be right over here. Or just by your shoulder. You can't see me, but I can stretch out a hand and touch.
Mrs. Peel made for the front door.
The key has gone, Emma. You won't get out of that way.
Let me out.
Which way will you go?
No! Let me out! Let me out! No!
Or here.
John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Final episode of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel play every trick in the pack to defeat the Joker. John Steed, more by luck than judgment, had stumbled across the entrance to Rousicana Hall. He knew he was at the right place when he crashed into Emma Peel's car in the fog. Ulla had left it parked across the driveway. Steed had to walk up to the old house. He limped his way along painfully and slowly. In the house, Mrs. Peel found herself trapped. She'd known for some time that she wasn't alone. Too many mysterious things had been happening. Someone was deliberately baiting her, playing tricks upon her, trying to frighten her. But why? For what reason? And with what object? All these thoughts flashed through Mrs. Peel's mind as she listened to the voice that echoed around the hallway.
I'm over here, Emma Peel. At the top.
the stairs. Come, come to me, Emma Peel.
Mrs. Peel looked up the stairs. The revolving door was slowly moving. The Joker turned inwards. Facing her was the death card. Mrs. Peel shot up the stairs at top speed and swung the door round.
Where are you? Come on. Come out and face me. I'm not the frightened, lily-livered one. I don't hide behind voices. Where are you?
Here, Emma.
What?
Mrs. Peel swung round. There was no one there. Just the grinning face of the Joker on the door.
Try your bedroom. I might be there. Waiting for you, waiting to hold you in my arms. Dear Emma.
Just come near enough to try, that's all.
But I am near. Very near. Try the bed, Emma. Behind the curtains of the four-poster bed.
There, sitting up in bed, his eyes staring out at her, was the dead young man. Mrs. Peel felt her nerves cracking.
Filthy, foul, crazy madman. Where are you?
Listen, Emma.
Downstairs. That music is coming from downstairs. All right. One thing at a time. I don't know how you're doing these trick voices, but you can't put on a gramophone without using a gramophone. There's one in here. That's not it. The other one is down in the study.
Mrs. Peel ignored the laughter that seemed to follow her wherever she went. She made her way down to the study. Yes, there was the gramophone, with the old 78 record playing on it.
Don't you like that tune, Emma? You should remember it. It was a favorite when we knew each other. I'm over here, Emma. I really am. I'm in the dining room. Want to come to me, Emma?
The voice did sound as though it was from the dining room. Mrs. Peel entered cautiously.
Where are you? Are you really in here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm here. At the head of the table.
The candles on the table were nearly out, spluttering and flickering. The end of the table was in deep shadow. But there was a man sitting there, a menacing figure, hunched in the high-backed chair. The man moved, stretched out an enormous, hairy hand, and took an apple, a green, hard apple, from the dish in front of him. He polished it gently.
Why not come a little nearer, Emma Peel?
Mrs. Peel did so, still keeping her gun trained in the direction of the voice. It was then that she noticed the photograph of herself on the table.
Yes, your face was always perfect, so symmetrical. Not a thing out of place. It's such a pleasure to see you again, Emma. I've thought of you often, you know. I like to think that just once in a while you've thought of me.
Who are you?
Remember the song, Emma. Mademoiselle. Paris. Eating apples by the Seine.
The hairy hand clutched at the apple, tightened around it, crushing it to pulp.
I could crush your scalp just as easily as I can this apple.
No chance. Keep both hands on the table and tell me who you are.
You still don't know? That tune doesn't tell you?
Move into the light, then I'll know.
Paris. Not so long ago. I think for one reason or another, Paris is the most exciting city in the world. It certainly was in our day. And it is certainly the most dangerous.
It can only be one person. Max Prendergast.
There, you see. You knew all along, didn't you?
Max Prendergast.
You were always teasing me so charmingly.
He picked up another apple, lifted a very sharp knife, and began slicing it. The hairy hands delicately popping each segment into his flabby mouth.
Those days were all too few, Emma.
but I shall always be grateful for them. Oh, and grateful to you. Do you remember that last day?
There is little or nothing about you that I care to remember.
I was leaving for Rio, but I had to see you before I left.
Ah, yes, I forgot.
Had you? I hadn't, you know. You wouldn't let me leave. I kept telling you I had a plane to catch, but you wouldn't let me go. You flattered me outrageously. How could I refuse?
What is it you want?
A chat. Just a chat. A quiet chat.
Why go to all this trouble if all you want is a talk?
No, it was no trouble. I've been enjoying myself. Did you like the roses in your room? There were roses in the room that day, and we kept playing the tune, Mademoiselle. I thought you were my mademoiselle. It wasn't quite fair, you know, to have kept me there with the roses and the music. You knew I wanted to take that plane. And there was that man. What was his name? Steed. John Steed. You flattered me, flirted with me until he came. And then there was a nasty scene. Do you remember? The police and the arrest.
You deserved everything you got. You sold people from east to west as though they were cattle.
Oh, my dear, a few insignificant refugees.
No human being is insignificant. Not those few refugees or that man upstairs. Did you have to kill him?
No, man upstairs. Oh, him. Yes, I had to kill him.
Just like that.
It was your fault. You shouldn't have made me miss that plane. I loved you, Emma, and you betrayed
and
me.
And I hated you and what you did and what you were. People like you have to be stopped. If I had to do it all over again, I would. I'd use any trick to see you behind bars, Prendergast.
Well, they destroyed me in there, in that place, being locked up all those years. It killed me. I died. They give you magazines in there, in that place. Your face often appeared. Whenever I saw your picture, I always cut it out with plastic scissors. They let you have plastic scissors. They aren't very sharp, you see. Not as sharp as this knife.
Prendergast stood up. Mrs. Peel had forgotten what a giant of a man he was. He advanced slowly down the length of the table, holding the knife out towards her. Mrs. Peel, gun at the ready, backed into the hall.
Keep away now. Stand back or I'll drop you.
In the hallway, Mrs. Peel stopped. From the top of the stairs, a voice said...
Oh, how exciting! A knife and a gun!
Paula!
That's right, and I've got a gun, too.
You see, I'm not alone anymore, Emma. I found someone who understands me, who's in sympathy with me.
Yes, that's right.
Paula, yes. Do you know what kind of a man he is? Do you have any idea?
He's going to kill you. He said I could watch.
Max advanced on Emma, knife outstretched.
You're asking for it. You're going to make me kill you.
I'm dead, Emma. You can't kill me twice.
Oh, what fun. You said I could watch.
Then watch this.
Your gun's only got blanks in it. Mine hasn't.
Ulla fired. Mrs. Peel ducked and threw her gun at Ulla. It was a good shot, catching her under the chin. Mrs. Peel didn't wait for more. She shot up the stairs, grabbed Ulla's hand that held the gun. It dropped, skidded through the banisters into the hall.
Leave me. No. Leave me.
Mrs. Peel got a hold on Ulla and threw her at the revolving door. She went through it, spinning it off its central pivot and landed unconscious on the other side. Mrs. Peel swung over the banisters and dropped into the hall. She made for Ulla's gun, but...
Too late.
Mrs. Peel was looking down the wrong end of it.
Oh, no. A bullet would be too quick. Too quick.
Prendergast moved in. Mrs. Peel tackled him. In the struggle, the candelabra was knocked over. Mrs. Peel found the hairy hands grasping her throat, squeezing.
Mademoiselle, die, my mademoiselle. That lovely face, let me cut it, as I get so many photographs. Now!
Prendergast had the strength of a madman. Mrs. Peel's eyes glazed as the pressure on her throat increased.
The knife!
Prendergast forced Mrs. Peel to her knees. He bent over her to deliver the coup de grace. Then it seemed as though the roof fell in.
Spot of bother, Mrs. Peel.
Just a little, Steve. I must say you play your cards at the right time. That's Max Prendergast. He escaped from jail.
Not for long. Thought I'd give you a lift home. That is, unless you want to stay for the rest of the weekend.
You've just got to be joking, Steve.
Oh, I'm no joker. He is. There's one in every pack, you know. Well, fog's lifting. Want to go home, Mrs. Peel?